I'm Tom Cliff, Cobblers fan and proud owner of Track NN and Cafe Track. Track NN is a social enterprise set up in 2018 to support autistic people to access employment through training, support services and creating opportunities. Research showed that just 16% of autistic adults were in full-time employment, and this is something which we are going to change. We opened our cafe on the Market Square in Northampton in January 2019 as a place where individuals could work and develop their employability skills and also be a place where people were free to be themselves. Since opening the cafe in January 2019, we have supported 36 people into paid employment and created over 75 work experience placements and visits for individuals. Since the coronavirus outbreak, we've not been able to open Cafe Track to its full capacity, and we've instead taken our offering online. You can help support us by buying coffee virtually at buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack. Your money goes to helping us to continue to create opportunities for autistic adults to gain employment.
Brain again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3!
Yeah!
Hey, how you doing? It's the It's All Cobblers to Me preview show. Thank you very much for joining us. This week, we're looking ahead to the AFC Wimbledon away game on Saturday. And we're all in good spirits with me to do all of that and look back on what was a lovely little win, courtesy of a lovely little Sam Tobias Hoskins goal. Is my good friend Danny Brothers. How are you, Danny?
Hey, we're back. Told you, didn't I?
Are you claiming credit? Is that what you're doing? Yeah. Right.
Go on, Sammy. He can't keep a good man down, can you?
He can't. I like the way, because actually, obviously, we recorded the normal weekly show. If you've not listened to it, go back and listen to it. It's hilarious because we talk a lot about chickens and Peruvians, if you've missed it. But we recorded that on Sunday night, so it was before the article came out in the Chronicle and Echo where John Brady said that Sam Hoskins was the most naturally gifted finisher at the club, and a lot of people on social media were ridiculing both John Brady for making the statement and Sam Hoskins for, I presume, his ability. So it was pretty apt that it was Sam that scored the winner on Tuesday night, yeah. I thought.
Loved it. I mean, it's not far wrong, I don't think, in terms of, it's probably more of an indictment of the squad in itself, isn't it, that he isn't that far wrong. I thought it was, some of the comments coming out, it just fed to some people, didn't it, in terms of having to go at Hoskins again. But I'm glad for him. He was back out wide. He was doing probably what he's best at. I know Tim Oglethorpe was saying that he said to him once that his best position, he wants to play through the middle, but we saw on Saturday this didn't work. So give him a bit of pace and a bit of space to run into, then he can do the business. And he's probably going to have to now because Miller's out for what looks like the next 6 to 8 weeks or so. So that was frustrating to hear at the end of the game, but Sammy stepped forward, and can he be the big man to pull us out of it?
Could you imagine?
Can you imagine if Hoskins just scores every week? Oh. It's just testimonial.
I mean, the thing that I always, because I know, and you know, we're guilty of it, or I certainly am, maybe not you so much, Danny, but you know, very guilty of having a pop at Sam quite a lot over the last, you know, 3 years of doing this podcast. He does, seem to be the fall guy. For a lot of Cobblers fans, there's always at least one player, isn't there, that everybody basically just really doesn't rate, and they're the ones that get the hammerings from the supporters more often than not. And yet, the one thing that you cannot say and you cannot leverage towards him is that he doesn't put the effort in and he doesn't try. And you saw how much that goal meant to him. He was so the amount of raw emotion that came out in him in his celebration, it just showed you that he is Cobblers through and through.
Yeah, it just feels like he's constantly having to prove people wrong, like week in, week out. And it's happened for the last, what, 3 or 4 seasons now, I think, with him.
Probably 6 or 7, mate, well, to be honest.
Because he's got the energy and he's got the stuff where he runs around all the time. And it's the end product. If he had that, then he'd be a decent League One player. But he doesn't do it consistently enough to earn that. But he's clearly trying. He's always clearly trying. And I think that's what all the managers see in him, that he puts the effort in his training. I can see him, I've said it before, I feel like he would be a really good trainer, and he'll come in and really stake his claim during the week and make himself undroppable, which it seems like he is a lot of the time. Like every manager just seems to love him, so you can't really argue with it. And it is what it is, and it is, he's going to be in the team now. So,
but that's track it. On. I mean, the thing for me is that it's not just him. I mean, the last few games, he's had my wrath when I've been watching the game. So, you know, my iPad or my laptop, whatever it is that I've been watching iFollow on, you know, has had abuse hurled at it, as if it was actually Sam Hoskins there. But I mean, not just Sam, but, you know, that for me, he still runs down blind alleys or runs straight at defenders instead of running away from them or, you know, into space. He still, you know, his end product in terms of his crossing isn't consistently good enough for me. His passing can be really bad. But actually, I could just be talking about every single player in the squad.
Yeah. I think longevity has its weaknesses sometimes. He's been here so long that we've seen it from him all these years that I think that builds up with people, I think, and it just becomes a little bit tiresome after a while because you've seen it week in, week out. I mean, Mikhail Miller's probably been doing exactly the same as him for the last couple of weeks. Marshall's had bad games, but it just feels like everyone just wants to get on Hoskins' back for some reason. I think it's a little bit unfair to do that because he's got something that he can pull something out like that. That what it ended up being an assist for Edmondson, didn't it, against, was it Plymouth? Mm. Where he scored that, well, he would have been at his wonder goal from the halfway. Like he's just got that something in his locker that can pull it out. But, you know, like I say, he's going to be there now, so.
Can I just pull you up? Wonder goal from the halfway line.
Well,
it wasn't, you know, David Beckham. It wasn't anywhere near the halfway line.
It was the way I saw it. You know my blink as well when Hoskins scores a goal. That goal he scored last night was at least 30 yards out.
Hey, it was a lovely goal. Danny Rose's lovely little flick into his path, and then for Hoskins to take it on the half volley the way that he did. I mean, sod it. Natural born finisher.
Yes. And Danny Rose had a great game as well, to be fair.
He did.
He did exactly what we needed Hoskins to do on Saturday. That just didn't work. He's got so much more of a presence about him, and not like in terms of height or anything, but he's probably actually smaller than Hoskins is himself. But his just presence and the way he gets in front of defenders and wins free kicks and just causes chaos up front. That's what we need. And that's what we need. That's what Edmondson gives us a little bit. Rose just gives us that with a little bit more shithousery on top of it. Yeah. he's like a Charlie Goode at the top end of the pitch, where he's just going to really piss off the defenders and win free kicks just to slow the tempo down a little bit and get us on the front foot. And I feel like he had probably one of his best games for us without scoring, but yeah. I thought he did a great job of doing that. And I think it's his position to lose now.
There is another thing to talk about with Danny Rose, which I will do in a second, but just what you started saying there about Danny Rose in your description reminded me of a certain Cobblers striker that the word legend probably does apply to. Obviously, I'm going to caveat this with the fact that it's not like I'm completely comparing him, because there are certain aspects that he's definitely way behind him on, but there was a little bit of the Scott McLeish about him, I think, because he's diminutive, but boy, he wins his fair share of the ball.
Yeah. I think it's just that week in, week out, getting the tap-ins that's missing from the Scott McLeish type thing. And like the scoring, like, you know, with McLeish, he would get like 15, 20 goals a season just by getting tap-ins and stuff. But I think the work Rose does, you're a little bit right in that sense that he does kind of scurry away like McLeish did and just cause a lot of problems and brings that means other people can come into the game, like Hoskins and Marshall on the other side. I thought Marshall was a little bit better last night as well. And it just Watson as well can come into the game a little bit more, as he was with Edmondson there, that he was imposing himself a lot more yesterday, Watson. I think that's because of the work that Rose was doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the interesting thing that was said in the post-match interview by John Brady was it was almost a bit of a throwaway line. And I know Tim Oglethorpe did press him on this, but he said that Danny Rose hasn't had the best of lockdowns. Mm. And I think, actually, there's probably a lot of you listening right now that could say exactly the same thing. I know I can. I've not had the best of lockdowns at all. We kind of forget that footballers are human at times and that they might have been affected by this just like we have been and therefore might not be on their A game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a vital part of it. When you look at team lineups, you say, you know, why has he been dropped? He was playing well, that kind of thing. And it's just one of them things where lockdown is going to have a massive impact on people. You know, they're human beings at the end of the day, that they could have had a really bad week, just like one of us could have. It's tricky when you're in the public domain and you're expected to go out and put in performances week in, week out, especially in a relegation battle. So, you know, you can empathise with it a lot. And I think come the summer or come whenever we're out of this kind of lockdown season, we're going to hear a lot of stories like that from players who will probably talk of how tough it was this season, because it's just relentless. They can't socialise as much. They can't probably do as much as they used to in terms of team bonding and that kind of thing. And it hits people harder than others, and it's naturally going to happen. So you do have a lot of sympathy and empathy for that.
I think Danny Rose was also house sharing with Harry Smith, I think.
Oh, was he?
And obviously Harry Smith won't be in that house at the moment.
Yeah, seeing big, he's bit in of a commute, Scotland.
yeah, just a bit. So if that is right, then Danny Rose might actually be all on his own. And, you know, there will, I dare say, be other players who are in the same boat, not just at the Cobblers, but elsewhere. And, yeah, probably not surprising that they're finding it tough to go and perform.
Yeah, definitely. But like, even if you've got a family though as well, isn't it? It's tough.
Tell me about it. Fed up with them.
But like, it's not necessarily something that you have to be alone to feel lonely, is it? It's just the way the world is. You can feel lonely being in a house share with three or four people. If you're on your own, you can feel the same thing. So it's been so tough. You just want us to come out the other side. Said along, stay up and come out this lockdown, hopefully, and hopefully let's kick on and start League One season in August, whatever. Oh,
wouldn't that be good? I still don't think though that it's going to happen, Danny. I'm sorry, and I know that I'm because as much as I was very, very pleased for the 3 points against Oxford, I still don't think that the performance was very good in terms of. I still don't think they play football very well. As I say, they can't pass to each other a lot of the time, and they can't, you know, far too many times the ball was ballooned over, or, you know, the cross was ended up being, you know, going as high as the sky. You know, there's just so many bits and pieces. And while for me, the best part of the team and the bit of the team that actually looks like it is good enough is probably our two centre-backs in Horsfall and Lloyd-Jones. And who thought I'd be saying that 6 months ago?
Yeah. I did think we were a lot better last night. I thought it weren't pass and move and all this kind of thing, but in terms of the fight and the will to make runs for each other, and that having Rose up there certainly helped. I thought Morris actually had a really good game. I thought Bryn Morris, he looked a lot more mobile for some reason yesterday than I've seen him in the last couple of weeks. It seemed like he was getting forward a little bit more and linking the play a little bit more than he has been. So, and I'm actually noticing him as well. So.
Do you know, you're right, actually, because he is a player that you seem to forget he's on the pitch at times, but he was a lot more involved, wasn't he? And I think you are right. I don't want to, you know, I'm not being all doom and gloom over it. It was a much better performance than what we'd seen, you know, the weekend against Crewe. It really was. However, I just think in terms of ability, you know, the team that we've got, the squad that we've got, it isn't good enough. And yes, okay, you could maybe say that, well, some of those things like finding the passes and stuff like that, that would come with confidence. And I'm sure it will do on a bit. But we go back to your point, I think, on last week's pod or last week's preview show, Danny, where you were talking about how, you know, when we come up against teams such as Portsmouth and Oxford and you know, we've got Hull, those bastards from the other end of the Nen and Sunderland still to come. You know, they have to have a poor game at the same time that we really raise our game and up it. Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing for me is I still look at it and I just go, in terms of ability-wise, it's not there.
No, it's not, but I don't think it is for any of the other five teams down there either. So true. It's not like one team's full of quality and they've just been unlucky. I think it's across the six teams that are in that relegation battle, realistically, that it's probably the same. Everyone's so inconsistent, and that's why it's so tight down there. And any kind of win just gets you right out of it. And it's when we come up against each other, like we do on Saturday, that it becomes a crunch point because, you know, we can't both lose the game. And it's just going to be a huge, huge game on Saturday and probably season-defining in a lot of ways.
Well, I want you to stop right there. And I think John Brady does as well, to be honest with you, because judging by what he said after the game, it sounded to me like he was basically blaming you for calling these games six-pointers and putting too much pressure on the lads to go out and perform. I laughed because it was, Tim Oglethorpe put the question to him, what is it that makes us, you know, able to go out and beat the likes of Plymouth and Portsmouth and Oxford and yet struggle against, you know, the other teams that are in and around us at the foot of the table? And when John Brady said, you know, maybe it's a mentality thing because, and he even said it, that they think it's a six-pointer. And I was like, it's Danny's fault. It's all Danny's fault. So,
but that, it technically is. It is the definition of a six-pointer on Saturday, though, in terms of, like, they're 3 points behind us, and if we win, we go six clear of them. So that's the actual definition of it, I think. Right. It's a fact. Come on, John. And like, we have got to treat it like a big game. I don't think we can be passive about it. It's a huge game, and we've got to go into it with that mentality, I think, not like, oh, it's just another game. We've got to go and face it as if it's the lives dependent on it.
I think it's more that the point was that nobody expects us, or I certainly didn't expect us to beat or get anything out of that game against Portsmouth, for example. So the pressure is off because the players are probably thinking, well, nobody expects us to get anything out of this. So if we don't, then, you know, we've not lost or gained anything. You know, we've just given everybody what they were expecting. But then they go out and play with a bit more freedom based on that there's no, you know, worry or scare, you know, fear is the word I was looking for there. Don't know what happened then. You know, there's no fear of, well, what are people going to say if we lose this or what happens if we lose it even? Never mind what, you know, fans think and say. Whereas when you come to these games against the likes of Wimbledon and, you know, Swindon a few weeks ago, you know, people are actually turning around and saying, well, these are the games we have to win. If we're going to stay up, these are the games we have to win. And so the players know that, you know, they're not thick. They know that that is it, but therefore they can't play with the same freedom because they're scared of, well, what happens if we do lose? So I think John Brady made the point of where it looked at times like on Saturday that the players or the team were playing for the draw rather than going for the win. And his sort of, you know, thing that he said was that wasn't what he wanted the team to do and wasn't the way that he set them up to play. But maybe the fear factor in the squads and in the mentality of the players is what caused and what led to that, you know, being seen by us on the pitch when we were watching the game.
Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. I think it's trying to change the mentality from being scared to lose, but changing it to see it as an opportunity to put some distance between us and see it as an opportunity to take points off your rivals.
See, this is where I just think you turn around and say, boys, we're down. Just you know, we're down. We're relegated. Pressure's off now. It doesn't matter. And then we'll go out and win 5-0 every week.
Not sure that's how it works. When was the last time we won 5-0 anyway?
I don't know. But it's one of those, though, isn't it? You do find that traditionally, and to be fair, it's been a while since we were in a relegation or in a season where we were coming up against teams that had loads to play for down at the bottom, and that we weren't involved in either, you know, going for promotion or trying to stay in the league and avoid relegation. But you definitely do get it when, as soon as teams are officially relegated, the pressure's off, and all of a sudden they go and put out a performance and pull off a result that nobody in the country expects them to do. And it's going to be down to the fact that suddenly there is no pressure and there is no fear. That, yeah. You know, the players are just like, well, it's confirmed now. It doesn't matter if we lose because, well, we can't stay up. We are down regardless. And then they go out and they might put a performance together. So that, therefore, I just think that you go with them in order to change the mentality. You tell all the players that we're relegated. Let's just admit it now. We've been relegated. We'll be playing League Two football next season. So therefore, it doesn't matter if we lose on Saturday. It doesn't matter. Then the boys will go out, play without fear, and we'll win.
Get Charles in. Pretty much team talks, the stuff.
I'm not sure how that would actually go down in a dressing room. Boys, you're relegated. You know, I mean, I'm sure it probably won't work on the basis that there'll be people that have got either release, you know, clauses in their contract for relegation, or maybe a pay cut clause for relegation. So some of them might not be too happy with it. But you never know. It's worth a try. We've tried everything else and that's all fucking failed.
It's a 6-pointer, Charles. Come on. Don't take it away from me.
Oh, dear. So, Wimbledon. On Saturday, you've probably noticed we don't have a Wimbledon fan with us this week to help us preview the game. And unfortunately, we did have somebody, but they were unable to make it at the last minute, which is a shame. But instead, Danny has gone and listened to a Wimbledon podcast to find out a little bit more about how they're feeling and what's going on down in that there London. So over to you, I suppose, Danny.
Yeah, I'll do my best. But they're basically, they look like they're in quite a similar place to what we are. And they've appointed Mark Robinson in mid-February. He's someone who's come through the club. He's been at the club since like 2004. So very similar vein to Brady in terms of probably just a lot more longevity about him. He's been the, let's try and find that list, head of youth, centre of excellence manager, academy manager, lead professional phase coach and loan manager, first team coach, and then interim manager, and then obviously first team or head coach, I think they called it now. So he's basically done everything, probably cleaner, football card presenter, all that kind of thing at the club. So he knows the club inside out. He seems quite a likable guy from what I could tell. Someone who, again, just like Brady, who just wants the best, who's going to fight for every point and sort of, you know, that he cares about it at the end of the day. So very, very similar to how we are at the minute. That is, seems to have changed the system a little bit. They were playing a 3-5-2. Now they've gone to 4 at the back with a bit more of a high press about them. So that concerns me a little bit.
Sounds like us.
Anyone that presses us, I feel like we panic a little bit. we don't like it not having time to think about our passes and stuff.
We don't like it up us, do we?
No, we need a bit of time to think about it. But they've obviously, like, they've gone and I think slowly got better since he's been appointed full time. Drew the last three games and got a pretty decent result on Saturday against Charlton. Could have won it in the end as well. If you look at their goals as well, their first goal is a really, really nice move from back to front. It's gone from basically the left back across the back four and then forward from the right back and intricate passing to get. It's about 7 passes, I think it took from back to front. And then the second one shows off their high press because the Charlton defender makes a mistake and your man, I think Longman, I think, nips in and scores. So they can mix it up a little bit. So it's going to be, I just feel like it's going to be a proper scrap. on Saturday, because it feels like we're both coming from very, very similar places. And the way that they were talking about the team, it sounds as if they're right behind Robinson. They want him to do well, and they're starting to turn the corner a little bit. So they're not out of it by a long shot, because they've got, I think, two games in hand on us, aren't they, as well? So it's definitely going to be a big scrap on Saturday.
We'd definitely like to be 6 points ahead then, wouldn't we, in that case? What was the mood like from the fans that were on the
podcast? Yeah, pretty good. Interestingly, they had two players on for the first half an hour. So they had their goalkeeper on, and then they had one of their defenders on, I think. So that was quite interesting to see them talk to the actual players themselves. And they were talking through how the managers changed the mentality, how they set up a little bit differently, and how they just completely trust him. Because there's four or five of them that have come through the youth system that just know him, like know him through all of that, and know how he wants his players to perform and know how he works. So that probably helps them a little bit. So they were talking quite highly of him, and then they went on to discuss the game against Charlton. So it was interesting to get that kind of dynamic about it, and that they seem to have players on quite a lot. They had the manager on last week, I think, with them. So it's a really, really open club, I think, in terms of access for the podcast. So maybe we speak to Kelvin, show him this, and get Sammy Hoskins on next week, Charles.
I think we've got a pretty good relationship with the club to do that if we wanted to do it.
We do, yeah.
Then we could do that ourselves, Danny. I'm sure if I asked, then I'd be able to get somebody. I just don't ask. to be fair, mate, after that, I think to myself, if we, you know, it's nice that you've gone and listened to their podcast and then brought back a little report. You know, you're sort of saying, oh, they sound quite, you know, they're up in spirits. Their spirits are high, and then maybe they're looking forward to playing us, and they're feeling quite confident potentially. Well, I like to think that if anybody's listening to our podcast from like Wimbledon, they just get more and more confident because I'm a right moody old man.
Just if you listen to one from the weekend, they're like, what the hell are you talking about? Noel Bertrand Solano and everything.
Oh, dear. I will just very quickly actually mention we had what I presume was a bit of a not a fan at P75 Darb on Twitter. Said huge win. This was after Tuesday night, obviously. Huge win. Everyone played their part. Hopefully, no more talk about chickens.
Oh.
I don't know what's wrong.
It's a bit rude.
Yeah.
It was a rooster anyway that we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's indeed a rooster.
And, maybe he just wants to hear about the cock more than the actual chickens. Maybe that was his point. You don't want to hear about the chickens, but give him some rooster talk.
I'm glad you changed it to rooster. Oh dear, brilliant. I suppose we'll go to some predictions, shall we? And seeing as it's just you and I, I think I'll start off if you don't mind. I'm going to be pessimistic, Danny. I'm sorry. Look, the thing is that I can't bring myself to raise my hopes. I did it after the Portsmouth game. So after we'd won against Plymouth and Portsmouth, I actually thought I was like that. The tide has turned. We're going to do it. It's going to be great. And I know that we'll still lose a couple of games, but that defeat to Crewe and you know, the not so much the draw against Doncaster, because I know that, you know, playoff chasing team, and on paper it was a really good result. But I can't help but see the, you know, basically the terrible football that is there. I don't mean the football's Keith Curl terrible. I just mean in terms of that they can't pass to each other and these sort of bits and pieces that just upset me more than anything. So I just think that alongside the whole thing of, you know, that freedom that I was talking about that we seem to have against the bigger or the higher up the league teams, this Saturday, I'm really worried. I just think that, you know, hopes have been raised again. for a lot of supporters, a lot of people on the Facebook groups that I've noticed all, you know, do the usual thing. Where are all the Sam Hoskins haters now? Where are all the ones, I think I saw a post that said, so where are all the ones that saying that we were relegated on Saturday? Where are you now? And I was just like going, I'm still here. And I still think that's probably going to be the way that it goes. One win doesn't make a season. I've said that at least four times this year. Typically, I think the Cobblers will go away and lose this really, really important match. I think it'll be a really rubbish game. Neither side's going to enjoy it. Neither set of supporters are going to be going, oh, what a game in 20 years' time when they look back at great games of their club. That's not going to happen. And I think we're going to end up losing 1-0 and it'll be a late winner for the real Dons and around about the 86th minute or something, you know, that point where you're never going to come back from. It's too late. And probably because we've been that bad anyway, there was no chance of us getting a winner anyway. But I'm at the point, Danny, where I'm kind of at peace with the fact that we'll probably get relegated. And I'd rather look at it and not, I'd rather be happy and pleasantly like, ooh, buoyed by a win, but not let it get my hopes up. Made last night. Oh, Sam scored and I did go, ooh. It was a very good goal and it made me go, ooh. And then I went, yay, we've scored. So I'm going to go for a 1-0 defeat. Danny, cheer us up.
I don't think it's going to be a humdinger. I'm going to go...
It's definitely not now. Now you said that.
No.
Jinx.
they seem to concede quite a lot. They seem to be quite happy to play on the front foot, which I think will let us in a little bit. But then I can see them scoring. So I'm going to go for 3-3. Ooh. I'm going to go... I think Mark Marshall's going to score because they've got a right back called Luke O'Neill, I think, who gets forward quite a lot. So I feel like that's going to let Marshall in there. Both Charlton goals came from that side of the pitch, so I can see Marshall getting two, and then Danny Rose can get the other one. But humdinger. There's definitely goals in it.
But you don't think a win, so you're not going all that positive. No,
I don't know. I feel like they won't know it, but I think in the back of their head they'll think a point's enough to hang on to, and it won't be seen as that from the fan base, I don't think, but... I feel like on the pitch, they'll think if we get a point, we'll keep them at bay a little bit. And I mean, I know John Brady said he wants to go for a win, but I think we'll get to about, like, if we're 80 minutes and it's a draw, we might mentally switch off a little bit and try and defend and try and keep hold of it.
I mean, I think that will definitely happen. However, we can't afford to. If we are going to stay up, we have to win this game.
Yeah.
And I know that that's me.
You said don't put pressure on it.
I know. Can't help myself. But I mean, when you look at the other games that we've got to play, there's too many where you're looking at it and on paper you're not going to get a result. So you've got to go and win this game.
Yeah, it would help.
And on that note, thank you very much for joining us. Look, why don't you come and join us in our Slack channel? It's exclusive to our Patreon supporters. All you need to do is head over to patreon.com/cobblers2me. You can sign up for them as little as £2 a month. And what that will get you is access to the Slack channel community. And believe me, on a match day, it is really good in there, isn't it, Danny? It's loads of fun and everybody just... well, enjoys talking to each other and watching the match together. It's lovely, isn't it?
It's like therapy on a match day.
It really is. And look, if you want to go a little bit further and support us a little bit more, you could go and pay £5 a month. And what that will get you is not only an invite to Danny's monthly quiz, which is brilliant. Next month's to be announced shortly. But also next week, you'll be able to hear my chat with NTFC women player Abby Bruin, who is also the player that we sponsor thanks to our Patreon supporters. So if you'd like to be able to listen to that next week when it comes out, then head over patreon.com/cobblers2me. Thank you very much for listening. Danny, thank you for joining me. And thank you also for listening to that that Wimbledon podcast. Just out of interest, out of five, how many stars?
Do you think they'll be listening?
I don't know.
No, honestly, it was a decent 4 out of 5. It was good. I think it was the 9 year 9 year plan or something. 9 years.
9 years. Well, nine years podcast. 9 years on podcast. Twitter,
yeah, it was that one. Yeah. So it's good.
Give it a 4.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Oh, that's good. Just out of interest, what do you give Cobblers to me?
Oh, half.
Oh, right, good. I'm glad that we're so high in your ratings of Club Podcast.
It's only because I'm on it. I know I've been the tender.
Is that where the half came from?
Yeah.
You. Brilliant. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday with It's All Cobblers to Me. We'll see you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
I'm Tom Cliff, creator of the world-famous online stand-up bingo, which started out its life at Northampton Town Football Club. Join me every Saturday at 2:15 p.m. on the Cafe Track Facebook page for your chance to be crowned stand-up bingo champion of the world. Every ticket purchase goes towards keeping Cafe Track and TrackNN a social enterprise dedicated to helping people to access work experience and hopefully employment. Buy your ticket now at buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack. Make sure you leave your chosen 15 numbers between 1 and 90 in the comment section and then play along live on the Saturday afternoons before the Cobblers game. So go to buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack now and get your ticket for the world famous stand-up bingo.